Because you see, the enemy is a liar. And he's trying to get people into lies. He doesn't want people in the truth. He wants people in lies and darkness and deception. And what he comes in subtly. And he comes in through the mind, through the reasonings of the human mind, okay? Through the carnal mind, he infiltrates. He comes in through the carnal mind. And what he does is he says, he gets people to think, okay, logically. His realm is in the realm of logic, not in inspiration and truth, but in logic. And so he wants people reasonable. Notice Jesus says, believe and then you receive. It's completely unreasonable. It's unreasonable to do that. How can you believe before you see something? The reason and the logic of this world says, if I see it, I'll believe it. But Jesus isn't like that. And we are the followers of Jesus. Jesus says, believe, then you receive. Okay? So the enemy tries to get people into logic and misunderstanding of the Bible. They think they're studying the Bible. They know nothing about what they're reading. They have their own interpretation. But you know, 2 Peter says that the Bible is not for personal, individual interpretation. It's not a book for individual interpretation. This is a book for the church, the corporate church. What we're going to do this morning is open this up in such a beautiful way, I believe. This is so beautiful. But first of all, before we go to the book of Corinthians, come with me to the book of Timothy. And the book of Timothy, we can read from chapter 2. And let's just read this. Let's read plenty of the word this morning from Timothy chapter 2. And verse 14, it says this: remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Notice it says rightly dividing. That implies that there is a wrong way to divide the word of truth. Remember this, the devil quoted the scriptures to Jesus. So just because the scriptures are in a hymn that's on there, it doesn't mean to say that it's right necessarily. As the deer pants for the water. Well, we're not panting for. Jesus promised us, whoever drinks of this living water will never thirst again. As the deer pants for the water, it's Old Testament. We're not panting for water now. We're in the truth of Jesus. Okay? And the truth is powerful. But the enemy always tries to get people to think wrong, even by quoting the Bible, to try and trick us into thinking wrong and singing the wrong songs at times, confessing the wrong things, and then believing the wrong way. And what you believe, you receive from. So it's important to rightly divide the word of truth, but shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. And their message will spread like cancer. This is the New Testament, folks. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort who have strayed concerning the truth. Some people have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. When people stray, the aim is a satanic aim to get others to stray alongside of them. And they use wrong thinking to do it. You don't need to go to church, they say. What are you bothering with church? You don't need, you can have church in the house. Have church in the house. We have church as the family in the house. And we watch the TV, and the TV shows us, you know, we listen to the TV. If we don't like the preacher, we turn to someone else who's got, you know. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal, the Lord knows who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Now that's talking about us who have yielded our lives to Jesus. And who have said, Lord, we are part of your body. We're part of your church. Now use us, Lord. And show us how we should live our lives. We're yielding our lives to you, Savior. Vessels of honor. Fit for his work. Yielded lives. Okay? He says, flee youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. Strife is one thing that the enemy wants. He wants to generate strife in the church. Division in the church. Divide and conquer. That's his tactic. Divide, conquer them. Divide them. Get them to argue. Get them to be in division. Then it's easy for him. But the scriptures teach us that we should be of one mind. United in Christ. And you know, this is no mystery. This is plain teaching here this morning. Plain and clear and simple, straightforward stuff, folks. So that we can get our foundations right. And as the Lord continues to build us, we'll know. And when we hear error, we can correct it. You know, we've got a responsibility to not just take this in passively, but take it in to the point that when you hear someone saying in the week, who, you know, oh, well, I just think, well, yeah, well, you can think that, but you're wrong. And tell them, you're wrong. And this is why you're wrong. It's for this, for these reasons. And hopefully you may win them. And if you can win them, you turn them to the things of God. But you see, the battle is in their mind. It's in there. The reasonings and the imaginations, they've been deceived. So we let the word of God show us. Amen? Isn't it beautiful to have this? Oh, it's beautiful to us. Let's read on. Verse 24. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all. Now watch this. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach. Now that may not be necessarily what they call or describe as an office of a teacher, but able to teach from time to time as the need arises. Patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. It's our role to correct them. We can't, it's not just my role, folks, to correct. Well, you think everyone is going to, you think they're going to listen to me? They don't listen. They're in rebellion, folks. They won't even talk to me. But they may talk to you. And you're a servant of the Lord. You've come here this morning because you're a servant of the Lord. You love the Lord. You're following Jesus. And he's saying to you, now listen, take this in. And when you encounter those folks, teach them, tell them. In humility, correcting those who are in opposition, it's satanic. They're in Satan's will. Anyone who isn't part of the body, anyone who's not united in the body, being part of us, it's satanic. And it's a little yeast trying to work through the whole batch. Don't play around with them, correct them, know the truth and correct them. Hopefully they'll turn. We'll include them in our prayers. Perhaps they'll turn. But listen, otherwise, be clear about it. You see, don't be fudged in your mind. You think you're being nice because you're being gentle to them and you're being nice and just be putting up with it, you know. That's being wicked yourself. Listen to what the Bible says. The Bible is saying, You correct them. Don't sit on the fence. Sitting on the fence isn't being nice. Sitting on the fence is being disobedient. Now, is that plain and simple for everyone to understand? Yeah? That's the truth. Watch what it says now. He says this. He says, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. And in humility doing it. Not doing it with arrogance or pride. We're just human. But doing it. So that they may know the truth. And that they may come to their senses. And escape the snare of the misinformed. And escape the snare of the misinformed. Oh, no, sorry. And escape the snare of the it could be an array of things. The misinformed, escape the snare of those who are confused. Devil's trap. The scripture's plain about it. Escape the snare of the devil. They're in the devil's snare. The devil has snared them. They're in his snare. That's why they're the way they are. That's why they're in that rebellion. They're in the snare of the devil. But we're charged with the responsibility to speak to them, and that way we can correct them, knowing the truth, and maybe they'll escape. Maybe they will. Having been taken captive by him to do his will. They're charged with the responsibility of Satan to do the will of Satan in the church. And they whisper and they say, you don't need to go to church. You don't need to. I don't agree with him. Don't agree with him. Don't listen to him. I think he's okay, you know, but I think he's wrong in this area. Satanic lies. We preaching the word of God. It's the truth, folks. And the devil's there to fudge the argument, to say, well, it may not, I'm not sure, I don't agree with this, it could be that, I don't know. They're not qualified to know. Of course they don't know. They're following Satan. They're in his snare. They've got delusions in their mind. And those delusions have taken them captive to the snare of the enemy. And God is saying to us, listen, expose it. Try and correct them, and maybe we can win them over. But know this, chapter 3, 1, that in the last days, perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money. I mean, some people, they don't come to church on Sunday. You know why? They've got the opportunity of overtime. Double time or whatever it might be on a Sunday. So we're going to go after that now. Well, you know, it's reasonable, isn't it? Because we've got a family to pay for and things are expensive. They make it an argument in their mind. You see, the strongholds of Satan are there in the mind. They make it reasonable for themselves. They think, oh, well, this is a justification. No, it's not. You chose money over God. And at the end of your life, you may be there lying on the deathbed saying, oh, if only I had more time, I could spend more time making money. Oh, call my wife. Let me find out how much I've got in the bank. No one on their deathbed says that. No one on their deathbed looks as they tenderly grab their spouse's hand and say, if only I could have spent a few more days in work. They're caught in the snare of the enemy. Lovers of money. Make no mistake about it, folks. This is plain, easy to see, unless you're caught in the snare. And for those caught in the snare, they can't see it. And when you meet them and you talk to them, you think, what on earth is wrong with them? Why is it they're caught in the snare? What's a snare? It's a trap. How does it work? You put a little trap. When I was a little boy, that we had a little trap for the birds. Actually, it was the neighbor. And he had a long piece of string. I don't know what he was up to. He was a funny individual. He had a long piece of rope. And he had a big thing like this. It was a big sort of mesh. And then a stick on it. And he would spend hours up in his bedroom waiting for a little bird to crawl in there. And he pulled a stick away. But the bird didn't see it was a snare. The bird was just going after its food. Some people go after food. They think it's good food. They're pecking away. It's not. It's a trap. It could be easy to get at food on the television. You switch the TV on. You're being, oh, this is my food. I'm going to be fed. No, you're not. It's a satanic lie. If any Christian is a real Christian, they must be in the real body. And that doesn't exist through the devil vision. The devil vision isn't a real body. Real bodies are the places where you attend, and there's people that you don't necessarily like very much. But it's reality. It's people that don't necessarily like you very much. But it's reality. And it's the place where you have to say to your flesh, be still, flesh! And you love them, even though you don't like them. You love them! Even though you may not yet like them. And the more time you spend praying for them, you grow to love them. I'll tell you a secret. The more you pray for people, it's a funny thing. You get to love them. If you pray for people, you end up loving those people. So it's a sign when people are prickly and when they're, you know, it's a sign that there's a lack of prayer. Very often. Watch this. Lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. It's a sunny day. Let's have a picnic instead of going to church. It's a nice day to go to church, but you know, we can have church tonight when it's dark. Let's have church tonight in the dark. And we'll go to the park and play and have a picnic now instead. I mean, that's what they do. And then they deceive themselves. And as agents of Satan, which is what we've just read, okay, as agents of the enemy, the devil, they try and get others to do the same. Isn't this interesting how it works out? Watch this. Having a form of godliness. And the reason why you haven't been so harsh with them, because you think that it would be harsh to be strong like I've just suggested, the word is saying, which the word is saying, by the way, and plainly so. And the reason why we're not strong with them is they have a form of godliness. So you go and see them and say, oh, praise Jesus, hallelujah, hallelujah. They're not following Jesus, but they're praising Jesus. Jesus says about some people, Jesus himself gives a description. He says, listen, what, you say, Lord, Lord, get away from me in that day. I never knew you. You had me on your terms, not on my terms. Listen, we don't have a choice in it, folks. For us to be followers of Jesus, it's on his terms and his terms alone. And his terms are clear. They're in the word that we're looking at this morning. But you see, because they say, oh, God bless. Oh, I was praying. We've been praying. You know, yeah, we study the word. Yeah. We never miss that TV show, you know, with that preacher. I'm not saying TV preaching is bad necessarily. I'm not saying that at all. I like listening to some of the... I like that man, Joel Osteen. A lot of people criticize him. I like him. He's a nice man. He's always... I sense the Lord speaking when he's speaking. I sense he's a lovely man. I really like what he says. A lot of people are critical over people. You know, I'm not going to say that all of it is. What I'm saying is when it becomes a substitute for real integration into the body, that's a serious issue, and it betrays a lack of reality. Watch this now. Watch this. We're going to go on. And from such people, turn away. From such people, turn away. Now, let me ask you something. Put your hand up if you've turned away from someone like that. This description. Good. Put your hand up if you think you might need to turn away in the future. Good. Good. Turn away from them, folks. Having presented the truth, having told the thing, turn away. The body of the Lord Jesus Christ, okay, isn't meant to be a soppy, soft, anything goes nonsense. We're following him in truth and reality, and we've got to be strong in the Lord and the power of his mind. And it means sometimes we turn away. This is what the Bible is teaching. Am I preaching my own words here, or is this what the Bible says? For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. They resist the church leadership. You'll know these people, folks, because they will resist the church leaders. Now listen, if you're in a place that's, or if you know of people, they're in a place, it's not biblical, they're not preaching the word, and they're not a place of prayer and the word, a gospel church, in the true sense of the gospel, then fair enough. I would be critical of those people, those leaders. I would be. The Bible is. But if it's a gospel church, what you find is that those ones who are in this rebellion, they criticize the leaders. They resist the leaders. They resist, they're critical. And they whisper their criticisms and bitterness to others, sowing seeds. It's dangerous because it's like a little yeast works through the whole batch. That's why we have to turn away and don't allow it to come in. Cut that thing out. Watch this. Men of corrupt minds. Corrupt. But they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. Their folly manifest to everyone. Turn with me now, look. Let's go to the book that talks about love. Okay? What book are we going to turn to? Yeah, the famous passage, look, in 1 Corinthians, and we turn to 1 Corinthians 13. Okay? And it says this, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but of not love, and we're familiar with the passage. Okay? And that love that it's talking about there is that agape love in the Greek. It's agape love. It's a love that is a high kind of moral love. That's the description of that love. It's a love that goes, it's a self-sacrificial love. That's that type of love, okay? But it's talking about love. But when you read a book in the New Testament, what you've got to understand is the context of the book. What's the context of that passage? Everyone reads the passage on love. Everyone knows it. They read it at weddings and, you know. But what's the context? Well, the book of 1 Corinthians was a book written to a church that had a lot of problems. It was a letter that was addressing those issues that Paul was made aware of. And the issues were, there was a list of issues, all sorts of things. Sexual immorality. All manner of things are addressed in this letter. But I want us to look at the previous chapter, because that previous chapter addresses the church and what the church should be like. Many people have misunderstood the previous chapter. Come with me then to chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. Interestingly enough, it says, it starts with this. Now concerning spiritual gifts. Does your Bible have gifts in italics? Yes? If it's in italics, as it is in most, it's for a reason. You know what the reason is? It's not there in the original. Doesn't say gifts in the original. And so people have read this and they understand this and they have gifts in their mind because the editors put gifts in there, but it's not in the original text. The original reads like this. Now concerning spiritual brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Oh, that's a bit different. That's a little different. Watch what happens when we read it the right way. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are diversities of ministries, but the same Lord. Notice, diversities of ministries. Diversities of gifts, yes, but the same Lord. Okay? Watch what he says. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. Who's doing the work? God's doing the work. Okay? But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. It's not my will or your will, it's his will. Listen to me, folks. God is saying this, and this is of the utmost importance. For the church to be the church that he's called us to be, we must walk in unity. The problem in the church is jealousy and envy. Jealousy and envy are the big problems. People see someone ministering at the front, and jealousy and envy come in and say, I can do that. I want to do that. Why can't I do that? I want to. I want to. Now, you know that the spirit of that in that person is wrong. Listen, the question isn't what you can. The question is, what has God called you to do? It's as he wills. I didn't even want to be doing it. If I had my way, I'd be on the golf course this morning. I'm saying the truth. I didn't want to be. I was happy running a business. And on Sundays, you could play golf. And then I came under conviction of the Holy Spirit. And the Lord called me to be a minister of his gospel. And it took a while, but eventually then I yielded, and I yielded my life to him, and then he started to tell me to do things, and strange things started to happen, and then people were lined up, and then the healing of God moves, and it flows, and then what I found out was that there's jealousy and envy in the church, and that not everyone was celebrating, but some people were getting angry and bitter and twisted, and then criticizing, and being all bent out of shape, and I couldn't work it out. I thought, oh, hold on a sec, surely you'd just be happy if someone is healed. Surely you should be rejoicing if someone is healed before your very eyes. I mean, I tell you what, I had to laugh. I saw this thing, Michael Jackson. You know Michael Jackson. I spent ages as a young man trying to do this. I can't even, I'm not going to. I had the mirror there, and I'd do the you know, I couldn't do it so well. But I used to enjoy it, okay? Now watch this. The truth is, right, this is the truth. Okay, big deal. He did the moonwalk. And all the world is really, you know, it's amazing. Wow, the moonwalk. We've seen legs grow out. Let alone moonwalk. Talk about baby stuff. The moonwalk. What a joke. What a joke. The moonwalk. We're seeing legs growing out. Blind eyes opened. People with cancer healed. Hallelujah to God Almighty for what he does. Isn't he so wonderful and awesome? You see, the enemy really doesn't want people to know these truths. The enemy would be very happy if everyone's fascinated with the moonwalk. I mean, that's, you know, turn on the devil vision. Get captivated. Who's winning the FA Cup? Olympics this year. I wonder who's going to win.
Eurovision.
I mean, madness. Absolute madness. Getting everyone involved in that, trying to get people into mad. That's why the enemy has television 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He's got it rolling and rolling and rolling and rolling round. So anytime, any free time, you've got a chance there. He's got a chance right into your living room. And you switch that thing on and get mesmerized for a while with the devil vision going on. Now, the thing is this. God is saying to us, listen, you're involved in the important and eternal things. You're my body. You're my church. You're the ones who I've put gifts in. And this is what the Lord was showing me. That it's a body ministry, this. This is a body ministry. This is not a ministry where someone should say, yes, I have the gift. There was someone around the house, he said, his father-in-law had the gift of healing. No. He is the one. And he happens to use us as he wills. As he wills. And he might use you next time. He may use you next time. The only thing that you should do is celebrate that he uses me, or you, or you, or you, or whoever it might be. Just celebrate. If you're not celebrating that God is using someone, you know something's wrong. Because this is a revelation for the church that'll help us to get to unity. No competition with one another, but unity. The unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's unity that he's called us to, and that unity is a celebration of who we are in Christ. Celebrate the fact. Now watch what it says as he goes on. This is important. Verse 12. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body. So also is Christ. So also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as He pleased. Notice how many times it's saying, God is doing this. God's the author of this. This is God's church. It's His body. God's doing it. Just as He pleased, and if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed, there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need for you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. I've wondered at times whether or not someone who's called into the ministry, a public ministry, I've wondered whether it's because they were particularly weak. I've wondered. Those parts being greater honor given to them because they were weaker. Encourage more. I don't know. I'm just thinking of that. What I'm saying in that is this. We shouldn't look up to human beings. Never look up to a human being. Look up to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Never look to a human being as if a human being is anything. As if a human being has nothing that we... It's His will. He happens to be using us. We've got nothing to boast in that. I mean, dear me. Spend a day with me, you wouldn't be very impressed, probably. You know. But it's obvious that we need to stick close to Jesus. And so we should stick close to Jesus. Know the enemy's schemes. Stick close to Jesus. And say, yes, His will be manifest in my life. And what member of the body am I? Has He called you to be a certain something in the church? Has He given you work to do in the church? Do it as a member of the body. Do it unto to God. And that's why whatever we do, we should do it with excellence. Listen, if He's called you to be part of this body, you need to be here on a Sunday. Every Sunday. Make it a priority, and throughout the week. And anyone who says, I can worship God just as much at home, know this, it is satanic influence that they have. It is of the devil that they think that way. It's not Bible thinking. It doesn't exist in the scriptures, folks. That is anti-God. And it shows that they are totally ignorant of what the word teaches. Now, have I made that clear? Yes. Times it by two, okay? Because, listen, I want the best for everyone. God wants the best for us. He doesn't want us to miss out. He's given us a part to play in His body. And He wants the best for us, folks. Let me read on here as we continue. Verse 20. But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, Let's go down to verse 23. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And on our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body. That there should be no schism in the body. That the body shouldn't be divided. You see, he's done that. It's the greater honor to all the parts. So if someone's doing something in the church, we have equal honor to them as we have to anyone else, to someone who's doing something else in the church, playing the guitar or doing or singing or whatever it might be. We treat the body that way. But the key is this, that we are doing something and we are spending our lives in the body, part of this body. You see, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, folks, exists within a body. It must be a body ministry. And I don't ever recall not caring about my little finger. I had a little thorn in my finger doing gardening. It was aching. It's difficult, but all my body was uncomfortable because of this little thing. It's a little thing. It was just in there. And all my body was uncomfortable because of it. That's a great description of love. Someone's in hospital. Someone's hurting. A member of this body is in pain. We ought to feel that. And you know, when someone comes to the body, they spend 6 months in the body, then they leave, and they just think that they're free to leave. Hey, listen, I tell you what, that's not the way the body of the New Testament works, folks. We are engaged with one another. We're part of the same body. You don't cut a hand off and think, well, I've had enough of you now. Go and find another body. It doesn't work like that, folks. Or, you know, when I'm just standing here, my leg says, oh, I'm off to the office. No, stay here. And there's not an argument in the body. No, stay. He wants to go to the office and I'm trying to... No, the body is united. There's order in the body. And so we have to live with this unity of the body. So when we find folks saying, well, we're not that, you know, well, we don't really, you know, we're not interested in coming. You know, we like, you know, we're just, yeah, we like to do it our own. We should have alarm bells going off, okay, and know that these people aren't following the New Testament. They are in a trap of Satan, and they're caught. And they got there through their own thinking. The enemy planted some seeds, and they grew, and now they've turned into their own demonic thinking. It's not biblical. And yet the same people, if you spoke to them and you'd say, this is my Bible, I am, they'd be holding their Bible up and confessing it. Too thick to understand what it's saying. Because they've never really applied themselves to the study of the Word of God. They've never taken things into context. Never really understood it. God bless those darlings. Why am I saying this? This morning, I'm saying it because God wants to grow his body. And in order for him to grow his body, we, the parts, need to be in unity. We can't be wandering off there. It just won't work very well. It's just not going to work. Unity. According to this, he says this. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Watch this. If something happens here and a healing takes place, because we're a body, we all rejoice together But you've been honored because you've been part of the body that where God showed up and God did a miracle. You're part of that body. And God has honored you as part of a body. You're not separate from the body. You're part of that body. And so you're involved. And you should feel honored. But if people don't attend church, and people have got their own thinking going on, they've missed out on being honored. And not only that, they've gone astray. It says, now you are the body of Christ and members individually, and God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophet, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? Listen, there's a teaching going around that says that, well, you know, we can do all these things all of the time. The problem with that is this. It's God who does those things as he wills. And he does these things to the parts that he chooses. So what we need to be doing is yielding to what he's called us to do in the church. And not striving to be someone else. See, we live in a day, because of the day that we live in, you talk to a young person, and many young people now, they want to be pop stars. What do you want to be when you grow up? I want to be a pop singer. Well, I was like that. So I understand it. I made a little demo tape in South Wales. And I told my mum, I'm going off to London now to become a star. And 4 days later, after catching the train, on my way up there, I phoned her. I said, I got my first job. She said, oh, really? Doing what? I said, singing. I told you that. I told you that's what I was coming to do. She said, where are you singing? I said, it's a theatre. She said, what's it called? I said, it's called the London Palladium. I said, I'm sending you some tickets. That was the start of an interesting journey. So I understand it. But it's a deception. It's a deception. When the call of God came, whew, glad to get out of deception then. And watch this. Not everyone needs to be a mouth. But you see, what happens, bitterness and envy come in, because in our own reasonings, we think, well, I would like to do that. I would like to. But it's not I, it's he. And he calls. And what we should be saying is, Lord, here I am now. Lord, show me what you want me to do. I'm a yielded vessel of honor. I'm yielded to you, Lord. And coming to church week in, week out is a part of yielding. Coming to the midweek meeting that we have, part of yielding. Morning prayers, they're available in the church. It's part of our yielding. Can you see? And all of that combined is part of our potential yielding to the Lord so that he can direct us and shape us as he wants us to grow. God's got great plans for us. Great plans. And he's calling us just to yield to him. As we yield to him, we'll find out what his will is. And then we walk in it. It's beautiful what he has for us. But you see, the trick is the enemy wants you to think that you want to be like someone else. Oh, if I could be doing that, I'd be really happy. If I could just be, well, you know, really, I don't like cleaning the toilets. I want to be singing on the platform. I want to be... Listen, if you understood the body ministry, that's a privilege of cleaning toilets for Jesus. You clean the toilets with joy and a diligence, saying, that's my role, and that's what I'm going to do. And it's a joy, and it may change as he wills. But do what he's called us to do with diligence in the body. And never be one of those people who goes out and does their own thing. You know, you have these people, they set up their own ministries. There's one person, he set up his own ministry. He's appointed himself as the apostle. he's an apostle under his own authority. He set himself up as the apostle. I think he's signed his own certificate and he is signed by himself. I mean, it would be funny if it wasn't so sad. And you have Christians who then, you know, don't understand that there's anything wrong with that. Because they know nothing about what the scriptures are teaching. But you see, it's delusion because people want to be self-important. A minister of the gospel, to minister, in the Greek, it means to serve. To serve. I tell you the truth, if people who want a power ministry, if you think God has called you for a ministry of healing and miracles, the question I ask is this: do you love people? Because I know that the first thing that Jesus wants is for us not to demonstrate the power of God and how he's working in great power today in this ministry. No. Nonsense. What he wants to demonstrate is that there's a love and a compassion for the pain of another human being. And that love and compassion of the pain of another human being causes you to go to God and say, God, please help them. Lord, help them. And then God says, go on, lay hands on them in Jesus' name. And you see what I'll do. And then you lay hands on in Jesus' name. But can you see the motive? So sometimes you have two people doing the same thing, but the motives are completely different. God has called us into this body. Just take up the part that you've got and know that, and do it with everything that you've got. In 5 years, listen, in 10 years, isn't life going quick, folks? It's going so quick. It won't matter what you've had for lunch today in 5 years. You won't care in 50 years what you did. But I tell you what will happen. You will care about how you served in the body. You will care about your diligence in the church. And being part of the church and being committed to the purposes of God. And spending your life for the kingdom. Amen? Those things do matter, folks. Be committed to the church. Be committed to what's going on. That's the body that God has placed you in. He's done it for a reason. And know that as he's doing it, he's calling you and he's equipped you for his purposes. He loves you so much. Watch this. But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I will show you a more excellent way. That's the context of the love chapter. It's love within the context of the body. It's love within the context of the body. It's not love in isolation, just, oh, that's a nice little thing. No, it's love with, you know, when they wrote this, there was no chapter divides. This is just one letter, folks. It's love within the, I think the chapter divides have been helpful in some ways, but very unhelpful in others. This love chapter is in the context of a united body that's serving the purposes of God with commitment to his will. Now listen, I advise you to study this. Study what's been said this morning. Let it become a revelation of what it is to be in the church, to be united in one body together. And find out what our call is, what God has called us into, what he's asking of us in our lives. God has got great plans for us, folks. He loves you, he's got plans for you. If you're wondering, I've heard you say that often enough, Pastor Steve, but I've not really found that to be the case in my life. Well, it's probably because you've not yet submitted to the body of Christ, to his order, And instead of resisting and critical and you know, challenging, submit to his order and say, okay, I get it now. Thy will be done. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. I understand it, Heavenly Father, and I yield to it. Praise his wonderful name. Well, we're going to unpack things further this evening, folks, but let's stand up now as we close. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful morning of opening up the scriptures, understanding what the church is, understanding a little bit more about the body, about what your call is for us. And Father God, we ask this, that as each one here, with eyes shut, all of us now, listen, if God has spoken to you this morning and you have a revelation of something from God, respond to him now and say, yes, Lord, you spoke to me. I respond to that thing. I respond to it in my heart and let it be taken on board in my life, that my life will change as a result. Now, if that's you, put your hand up and show him that you're responding. Amen. Amen. I see hands up. Amen. Amen. Father God, we thank and praise you for your will, for your word. We ask that your will be done in and through our lives. We submit to you, Lord, and we love you. And we want to give you all the praise and all the honor, Lord Jesus. We love you, Lord, and we love your word, and we love the body, and we love being part of the body. Oh, Heavenly Father, have your way with us, that we will be vessels of honor and used as much as you can use us for your glory. In Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. Amen.